Okay, the San Sebastian Film Festival has the great fortune of having with us Bradley Cooper. Can you hear me? Is it working? Good. I'm glad you can hear me. Good. The director, producer, writer as well, and actor of the film A Star is Born. Okay. The film is in the Pearl section of the film festival. And I would like to start. I'm going to take my turn and ask a question, because what surprised me enormously was the how firmly you've directed the film, how it's staged with a very intimate camera that's almost as if it reflected how the two main characters look at each other, also in more daily sequences, as well as epic sequences, that is to say, in the concert. That drew my attention. How you shot the concerts? I'm not too sure whether you could talk about what was the process that you followed when choosing to shoot in this such particular and coherent way all of those sequences in the film.
Thank you for having me. We had quite a warm reception yesterday and even today, so thank you very much. Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question.
Right.
Because that's sort of the thrill of directing a movie, is you get to really place the audience wherever you feel that best suits the story. All of my favorite directors, form always follows the function, and you feel the emotionality of it without realizing what they're actually doing manipulatively with the camera. And because this is such an intimate movie, but it also, in its best form, is epic, as you said, that was a fun challenge. And the camera has a very specific relationship to Jackson Maine. He's trying to avoid it. It has a very specific relationship to Allie also, in that she's not even aware of her power, but the movie is. So you sort of, she finds herself, or she doesn't know it, but we as the viewer find her in the middle of the frame, almost on stage before she knows it, in the bathroom. And in wanting to make a movie where there's live music and we recorded all the vocals live, and feeling that authenticity, in main part because she's the real deal, and the rest of the movie has to rise to her level, I had this idea of never leaving the stage, the camera. How can we stay on the stage and still get scope? And that was sometimes when you put parameters around what you can do, you actually come up with ideas, and that's where all that was born out of. That you as a viewer are always living vicariously through the characters, and that, to me, at its best, you feel like you're walking out of that car and heading through the bowels of the theater, and then you find yourself on stage as a theater goer.
Okay, thanks so much.
Hola, buenos días.
Hi, good morning. The film, well, at least what I saw in the film, is also a certain reflection upon fame, how you achieve fame and talent. And the question is whether you've had to stop people who wanted to manufacture their career, and whether being a director gives you more control at the same time upon yourself.
Fame is, of course, an element of the movie. I always, when thinking about this film and certainly the history of it and how to deal with it, because the characters that Will Fetters, Eric Roth, and myself created are quite different, and their relationship to fame is quite different than the other films. So I sort of looked at it sonically, and fame to me is about sort of the influx of energy in a very confined space and then silence. And that's how the rhythm sonically of the film starts out, and then we maintain that rhythm through the movie. It sort of dictates the pace in a lot of ways. You're absolutely right. When you get to, when Warner Brothers gave me the chance to co-write and direct a film, I have a much more, control's a word, or input, or ability to help navigate the story in a way. And it just felt wonderful to be able to do that. And in large part because I think casting is really fun. I really love being able to cast people who I find fascinating and who I thought could really give all of themselves. And they did. And it really, for that alone, was worth doing.
Congratulations, Bradley. I would like to ask you, What was it to work with Lady Gaga, and whether you've also had the pressure of the previous versions of A Star Is Born, and how did you address that? Thank you very much.
I mean, there's always pressure, I think, whenever a studio entrusts you to tell a story. I'm not sure if it was more pressure than if there were never movies within that same property that had come before. I think whenever you have people that are entrusting themselves to you, that comes with a lot of pressure. And luckily, Warner Brothers allowed me the time to prepare the movie, to get to a place where I felt comfortable enough to invite all of these great artists, crew included, to this set and for us to tell this story. In fact, I'd say in a way it was almost exciting cinematically to have predecessors, because we were able to pay homage to them through the movie. Yeah. Thank you for the question.
Bonjour. Something about Lady Gaga, you didn't address?
Ouais, en fait, j'ai vu votre film à Venise, j'étais au Festival de Venise, et j'ai trouvé superbe ce que vous avez fait avec Lady Gaga, la relation que vous avez. L'anecdote que vous avez eue par rapport...
Excuse me, could you do the question in English?
Yes,
I'm sorry, because there is no translation.
English.
No, yeah. Je comprends. Que
you comprends?
Yeah, but the rest of people, I think that doesn't.
Is that
it's okay?
See, no, nobody else understands.
Exactly, and see with Lady Gaga and other thing. And I have today is not for a question, because my grandmother go out of the live tomorrow, and I go to see him in hospital. And the same thing with your father. And I have production. And I promised to my grandmother before she died to give that, because it's very in my dream to give that for you. And I think that it's possible that you accept that. I am a production, and maybe you can or not. And I promise you my grandmother, because she died tomorrow, and it's a promise to do.
Do you have any question?
No, it's simply...
Okay, okay. We should
I'm not quite sure I understood it, but I'll talk to you after about it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, okay, thank you. Your turn?
Yeah.
Can you
repeat me? Could you
do the question?
Hola, buenas.
Hi. I would like to know, A Star Is Born is a project that was talked about a lot before it fell into your hands. What made you take control of the entire project and undertake it, that is to say? And what was it like to work with Lady Gaga, and how have you managed that she should give her all into the character, offering a performance which is spectacular? Thank you.
That knows anything about her as a performer leading up to this point, I think it's pretty clear that she gives it her all. She's one of the great artists of our time, if not in history. So my job was just to set a proposal when I met with her, which would hopefully entice her enough to want to give it her all. And then once she obliged, which was the whole reason why the movie exists today, my job was then to create an environment that was safe enough for her to put all of that great work and talent into an atmosphere where we could get these beautiful, authentic moments. And that's what you always strive for. I think that's what I strived for. And those are the things that move me about movies, you know, since I was a kid, movies that feel so authentic. And you can't believe that it's actually a film, that there are cameras there. I remember seeing The Godfather, thinking, wait, how could there have been cameras there? It just feels so real. So that's always what I was striving for every day, and that's a part of the challenge, but part of the ultimate thrill.
Okay. Hi, you're on the right. I would like to ask you, one of the most amazing things of the movie is the music, and Lady Gaga and you performing it. So I would like to ask you if you can explain the process of writing the lyrics and composing the music with her, and if you think, as the title of the movie, we knew Lady Gaga as a great music artist, if you think that now a cinema star has born too.
She's an incredible actor, and has somebody who has received accolades and has been acting and studied. I think she just didn't have the opportunity until now to work on a film that asked so much of her, and she delivered certainly everything that I could have possibly wanted and more. I'm just completely in awe of what she did in this movie. And I hope if she decides to, we'll keep working, because as a moviegoer, I'd like to see what she does. In terms of the lyrics, yeah, we had incredible writers on this movie: Jason Isbell, Mark Ronson, Hilary Lindsay, Lucas Nelson, Lady Gaga, people that really gave it their all also. And it was a process that was concurrent with the evolution of the film, because the songs really do reflect what's going on and between the two characters, themes that are investigated in the movie. And that was also thrilling. And we had an arsenal of songs, and then it was sort of, like most of this process, you just try and place them and see if they work and find your way to creating a path to tell the story. And the music was certainly an indelible part of that.
Hello, good morning. everyone is talking about your film as a strong Oscar contender since Venice. You've faced several Oscar campaigns as an actor. My question is, how do you face an Oscar race being a producer and a director? I mean, how does it change, and how do you face this challenge, if you do?
Yeah, I've been very fortunate to have been a part of a certain Academy Awards sort of seasons. And the best part of that, I have to say, is meeting the other people, and you get to sort of, throughout the months, throughout the process. I remember on Silver Linings Playbook, I got to meet Daniel Day-Lewis, and that was like absolutely insane. Outside of that, I'm not sure how else, you know, it's sort of a thing that occurs, and then you go there and you meet people and you talk to them, and then you either win or lose, and that's that's kind of it. The fact that people are talking about it, it's insane. You know, this was a movie that was a bad idea. You know, the fourth remake of A Star Is Born. Yeah, with someone who never directed and someone who never made a movie before. Yeah, that's not a great recipe. So the fact that that you just asked that question, it almost feels like a joke. but the good news about what you're asking is that would obviously means that people seem to be receiving the movie in the way that we intended it. And all we tried to do was make a movie that was real and authentic, and that moved us, and that's about love, and about what happens when two people love each other. And even with that, how hard it is to endure, given life and family and finding your voice in this world. So it makes me very happy.
Hi, good morning. I'd like to ask you about the script, because you've got a first hour, which is really spectacular. And the left, you center yourself, focus more on the characters and leave the songs to one side. How did you address that issue of the first hour being that way and then focusing on the characters and leaving the music to one side? How do you address that right in the script? Is that how did that go? Because what you do is hook the second part to the first part.
Yeah, the structure, cracking the structure for this movie was really I wouldn't say the word difficult. I think writing any script is difficult. But if the audience doesn't, if they're not on the ride with these two people, then there's no movie. And the trajectory is going, it's going to rise and then it's going to start to tumble. And I'm not going to stay on that train unless I'm really invested in them. So the first act of the movie almost happens in real time. It's almost a night out with these two people, and the scenes have a rhythm that feels like so long that you're just sort of most like it creates a different type of rhythm, and then the rhythm sort of changes as you're watching other elements invade their love, and it's all purposeful, and I love that rhythm, but it all came out of the necessity to establish a true connection between the two in a very deep level, and I don't know how to do that in any other way than actually to be with these people almost in real time in that night out.
Hello, Bradley. Congratulations on the film. It was absolutely great. I watched it in the Toronto Film Festival.
¿Puedes acercarte un poco el micro?
Oh, yes. Okay. Congratulations on the film. I watched it for the first time at the Toronto Film Festival, and it was amazing. In the film, the most important thing, I think, is that all the characters, they are expressing themselves through the songs. So should I ask if there's a song that portrays you as a person, or some lyrics, probably? Thank you.
As a person, or you mean Jackson? I'm not sure. Bradley. I'll ask him. you know, the hope is that it all is personal. You know, I'd be lying if I didn't say that all of it has to come from a personal place. Otherwise, I wouldn't really know what I'd be telling people to do or hoping that they would discover in themselves if I didn't have a point of view. And that point of view has to come from a personal place. So the answer, even though maybe it's not what you're looking for because it's not a specific song, are all the songs.
I'd like to know whether you've taken this leap into directing in films, or whether it responds to some specific need that you want to do more interesting things that perhaps you didn't see in your previous roles that you've maybe been offered. And then also as an actor, you play a musician, you sing. I'm not too sure whether have you worked with anyone to prepare this role better, or did you inspire yourself in anyone specifically? Thank you.
I think time, as I've said before during this, it's the biggest currency. And as I was getting older, I thought, how am I going to spend my time? Because to do a movie, it really is a huge commitment, even as just an actor, at least in my experience in the last 10 years. And I love filmmaking. I've studied it since I was a kid. And I've always felt motivated to try to tell a story. But until I had a point of view or a story I wanted to tell, I knew there was nothing to do. And then things started to occur, and I wanted to tell this story. And then it was just about gathering the courage to do it. And I guess time, you know, being 39 at the time, I remember always having in the back of my mind that Clint Eastwood waited till he was, play Misty for me. It came out when he was 41, but I think he was 40. Billy would know that. But so that was when I thought, well, if I wait till after 40, then I'm really screwed. What was the second part of your question?
Bradley, did you, in the film, you also, apart from directing, you act, you play a musician? Yes, see.
Oh, gosh, yeah. No, I had to do a lot of work. Yes, but yeah. I worked with this incredible voice coach, Roger Love. Thank God I found him, and he was willing to give up so much of his time every morning. I remember he said that no one works on their voice at 7:30 in the morning in his whole career. I think musicians usually don't start till afternoon. And I worked with him, and Lucas Nelson was an incredible partner. His band, Promise of the Real, is Jackson's band. And then I got to spend time with some musicians that I befriended over the years. And again, you know, to Warner Brothers' credit, they allowed me the time to prepare this movie and to really do what I thought I needed to do in order to get to a place where I could show up on set and be completely ready and open to the day.
My question is actually pretty similar to what she just asked, but it was more related to what was it like for you? How hard or easy was it for you to do both directing and acting, and especially seeing that you're on the screen all the time? And if something wasn't really coming out the way you wanted it, did you get that feedback from your crew? Did you listen to them as a director, or how did that work?
I mean, what I love about this process and why I think I always was drawn to it is the collaborative aspect of it. And I love asking everybody on the crew, on the set, what they think. Unfortunately, you don't have the time to ask everybody what their point of view is because you have to make the movie and make your day. But I think because I had so much prep time again and was working out of a place that I knew what I wanted out of a scene or what I wanted to explore, I found it easier to be acting in it, to be on the field with the other actors. And the crew's right there. It's not as if the crew's in another room. We're all right there. And so to be able to be at the helm, as it were, as a director, but on the field, to me, is the perfect combination of how best I know how to tell a story. Because you can maintain the rhythm while also making changes, as opposed to having to stop and sort of lose that energy, talk about it, and go back in. We could do it constantly while it's happening. So I suppose that's because that's my only experience as having been only an actor before and producer. But if I get the opportunity to keep doing it, that's to me the best way that I could serve the other actors, serve the crew, serve everything.
Hola, Bradley. Mi pregunta.
Hi, Bradley. My question: how has directing help you to evolve? How does directing make you evolve as an actor? And whether you wanted to direct in Puerta? I think he said. I don't know what that where that went.
Anytime you could focus on other aspects of the filmmaking process, I think it informs whatever process you normally do. I remember the first time I went to an editing room on a television show 20 years ago. I learned so much about acting, and continued to. And I've always been so curious about the process. You know, if you learn what the focus puller does, if you learn what the first AD does, that all informs, I think, the acting of it, because you're learning about the world in which you're creating this imaginary circumstance that you can then dwell in. So I don't know if it's made me a better actor, but it certainly makes me enjoy the process more the more I learn about it. But one thing I do feel, no question, is that for any actor that they should get into an editing room and watch how that occurs, because I think you learn a tremendous amount about what's needed and what could be possible, and the benefit of options. And also, it's very easy when you're in the editing room to see what's real and what's not. But sometimes when you're an actor just in the scene, it's harder to tell.
Hola, buenos días.
Hi, good morning. I'd like to ask you the same thing. And it seems that you've forgotten whether you're preparing another project as a director, what you can talk to us about it. Another thing, what's the experience of directing at the same time, well, being an actor, which was the, more or less, I think you've answered that last question.
Consciously. Yeah, there's something, but I don't want to talk about it yet, because you don't want to jinx it, and you never know.
Hola, buenos días.
Hi, good morning, Mr. Bradley Cooper. Welcome to the festival, San Sebastian International Film Festival. A question for you. Talking about the other day, with the director of the Lumière Institute in Lyon, he said, the question all directors make, ask themselves, what story do I want to tell? I say, what story did you want to tell? What are the keys, shall we say, for us to see the film that you can, for us as spectators to see the film? What was the story you wanted to tell to give us a hand seeing the film?
Right, you know, in order to put all the time and effort and ask all of these people to come together, I didn't want to do that until I had a story that I wanted to tell. And the truth is, sometimes you discover what that story is as you're telling it. I knew I wanted to make a love story. I knew I wanted there to be music. And there were other deep things inside of me that I think I discovered as we were making the movie, and that wound up being a movie about family and a movie about trauma as a child, and a movie about finding your voice in this life, given how hard that can be when so many people, tell you what your voice already is, and the courage that that takes. And ultimately, I think it's a movie about people needing each other, and how much you can grow through that interaction.
Sí, en España.
Yes, in Spain. There's a program that's really big amongst young kids on Spanish TV, which is Operación Triunfo. It's I'll tell you what it's about. A film star probably has everything, but the unreachable dream of Bradley Cooper would have been turning up to one of these shows because you was playing the guitar on stage. It's a program. It's top of the. Being a star. One of these programs where you become a star overnight on TV. And so you could have won one of those programs. How comfortable you looked on stage with the guitar and singing.
Well, if that's true, what's the show? I got to sign up. I had a lot of help, and it was a lot of work, and it was really just that's the result of a lot of people working together, helping me to get to that place.
Yeah. Hi, Bradley. Bueno, felicidades por tu.
Congratulations for your film, Bradley. More or less, all of my colleagues have asked the questions that I wanted to ask, but curiosity. You briefly talked about remakes of A Star Is Born. I would like to know which one, Judy Garland's, Streisand's, or, and then, I don't know, another curiosity that you show in the film that made me, was quite fun, that is to say, when we find Lady Gaga anytime and we ask for her for a photo, is she going to react the same way she reacted in the film? To know beforehand, just in case.
She seems very friendly. Yeah, I think you'll be okay. Yeah, I think she'll take the photo. It's been fascinating to watch this story in its broadest form be told in different generations and different time periods, and each one is indelible. It's kind of incredible how each one has its own identity. I think that's part of why I hope this one does too. There is something about the Barbra Streisand and Kris Kristofferson that was so reflective of that time, it feels, even though I was born a year before it came out, so I wasn't really aware of it. But I remember feeling the reverberations of how iconic it was into the 80s growing up. Images of those characters found their way deeply into the culture, at least in America. I hadn't discovered the James Mason, Judy Garland until wanting to do this movie, and what an incredible discovery that was. I was just blown away by that film. James Mason and Judy Garland are incredible. George Cukor, how he was able to get such scope, you know, spending the first 5 minutes of the movie just watching people enter into this fundraiser was very bold. And that movie really stays with me.
Hola, Mona.
Good afternoon. I would like to ask, congratulations, by the way, for the film, and to ask and to tell you, if on Monday I go home and I want to become a star, what's the first thing that I've got to bear in mind next Monday to start up? Well, what do you think is the most important thing to become a star?
Why are you going to wait till Monday?
Porque ahora estoy muy cansada.
Because I'm a bit tired now after.
That's a good reason. Yeah, it takes a lot of energy. I mean, hopefully in this movie. Well, to me, I mean, it's your movie now, but to me, the star is born in the last frame of the film. It's when she looks at the camera, she looks at the audience for the first time, and is ready to give all of herself and know who she is, and be able to express that talent in the way that she wants to. And she's taken all of the experience that she's gone through before this movie and what we've watched her go through, and you just see somebody that's firmly planted. It really depends on what a star means to you. I hope what you're saying, even though we're making light, is that finding something to say, kind of what Jackson says in the movie. You know, once, if you feel a calling, is to pursue it and be unrelenting about pursuing it, because there's so many people that are going to tell you not to do it or you're not worthy. And it really, to try to surround yourself with people that love you and support you, if you can, to help pursue that road, because otherwise, what are we doing?
Sí. Yeah.
Sí, bueno,
Hi, Bradley. Congratulations for the film. You've worked as an actor, and now you've taken that leap into directing. Maybe it's a stupid question, who knows. Would you now, or in a short while, would you leap into Bradley as a singer and bringing out a record or an album? What would you, is that down, or have you thought about that, making a record maybe and being a musician?
It is coming out the same day as the movie. It's the soundtrack, and I guess that's Jackson Maine, but absolutely not. Yeah, there will never be a Bradley Cooper album. I don't want to listen to that album.
Hola.
Hi. Hi, good morning. Bradley, congratulate you for your film. So, it's so organic and so human in a time of films which are all sort of like fireworks and artificial. A specific scene in your film is which in your character tells Lady Gaga's character that she's got to show herself authentically before the audience, And then she goes to Saturday Night Live, and sings a song that your character thinks is a bit banal and a bit superficial. Is that a criticism to the current music industry or not?
Really good question, because it's a fine line to tread within this story. And it's obviously for you to determine what you think, but I could just tell you that I never thought that. In fact, when he confronts her in the bathtub and she says, yeah, those are my lyrics, you have a problem with my lyrics, she wrote that song and she's proud of that song, clearly. And just because he has a point of view of how he thinks, he's sort of become the very thing that he's told her to be wary of in that moment. The way I see it. That's not to say that the impact of this sort of globalization of her music by her manager isn't pushing her in another direction also that may not be as authentic as she truly will become by the end. But he's, I think at that point, at least in my mind, becoming the very thing he was warning her against, because he was much happier when she was singing the songs that were kind of in his mode when she was on tour with him. He's not totally wrong, though, because she hasn't quite found her way. But the path of an artist is wayward anyway, and you have to explore many things to find out what feels comfortable.
Hi, Bradley, congratulations on the movie. I really liked it. I think the music is a very important part of the film, obviously. And I wanted to know, how was it like for you to learn to play all those instruments? You play the guitar, you play the piano. Did you start from scratch? How difficult was it for you to pretend that you were like a superstar?
It was kind of from scratch, yeah. This great piano teacher, Kia, in Los Angeles, I worked with. She was incredible. She had a wonderful way of teaching. This guitarist, musician Johnny Hansen, worked with me on the guitar, and Lucas Nelson, another guy who helped me with the guitar, and then Roger Love was. There were a lot of people that I worked with, and it was really a set out structure every day, amount of hours allocated to each instrument and the voice, just to get to a point where I could be proficient enough that you could then believe it, because the order was I have to eventually be on that stage with her, and so it better be believable enough so that we can enter into the movie.
Y yo también tenía una última pregunta.
One final question that has to do, you've got a filmography which is extensive, you've worked with a lot of our directors. Are there any specific directors with whom you've worked with that you feel more identified with, or you've learned more over the last few years and that you've transferred that into your shooting and you being a director and shooting this film?
And that I would never have been able to make this film if David O. Russell hadn't embraced me, not just as an actor, but as somebody who he would allow into his process. And it's funny when you say the last few years. I mean, it really has been years that I worked with him. We did three movies together, two very intimately. Also Clint Eastwood. He really allowed me to enter into his process too, and Todd Phillips has become we're producing partners now, so I've been able to watch him also. I've been very lucky. Even J.J. Abrams, almost 20 years ago on his television show, I was an actor, and he let me come onto the set and shadow Ken Olin, who was directing a lot of the episodes, and sitting in with Mary Jo, who is his editor now on Star Wars, in that editing room. So it's really, again, getting back to the movie almost, somebody, at least, I don't know if they believed in me as a director back then, but they certainly recognized my curiosity, and instead of saying, oh, don't worry about that, you're just an actor, they said, sure, let me show you what we do.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you so much. A big round of applause to Brad Coon.